Welcome, everyone, to the Forum for World Peace. This is Marcia McMahon speaking. I'm the host for the show, and we have a wonderful evening lined up for you tonight. We are going to be featuring my special guest, Rose Campbell. And Rose has some absolutely fascinating material from both Princess Diana and Dr. Martin Luther King. And today just happens to be Dr. King's birthday. Are you there with us, Rose?
I certainly am, Marcia.
Well, wonderful to hear your voice again. All right, so before we start with our interview with Rose, I'd like to cover a few things, and I will give Rose's bio before we do this interview. And then I have some other messages from both John Lennon and Princess Diana that they requested that I read tonight. Rose Campbell is a clairaudience channel for the world of spirit for 15-plus years, and she describes for us tonight the honor she had of conversing with Princess Diana and Martin Luther King Jr. These afterlife conversations are riveting and revealing. Princess Diana talks about her life, her views of it, and her greatest telling reveals about the future of the planet and offers us wisdom about what was and what could be. As well, Martin Luther King Jr. offers glimpses of how he saw his work with the movements that he had led and why he became the man in charge. Rose has recently released an e-book form of her book, The Princess and the Peon, An Uncommon Conversation with the Late Princess Diana. And you can find this ebook along with excerpts from it at, and here is Rose's website. Everyone, please take note of this, and I will recite it very slowly. Rose is located at www.angelfire.com/mv2/connecting_to_Diana. So she's a connecting to Diana on the Angel Fire website. And I am so honored to bring Rose in. So we're going to be talking with Rose in a few minutes, but we want to also stress tonight is an open phone line for everyone who is out there listening who wants to come in and ask questions of myself, Marcia, or of Rose Campbell. We are both actually clairaudience channels for spirit. I can do a little mini reading if you have questions about personal issues or about some of the messages that I have from Princess Diana in my book, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts. My book is available on my website at www.angelfire.com/mv2/Diana_speaks. And you can pick up more information about Diana's awesome messages from Spirit concerning world affairs at my website. And you can also purchase the book, Love from Diana, which is still on sale, by the way. And we also want to mention another person that both Rose and I have worked with in years past and shared Diana messages, and that is the great Bob Murray. And he is providing a lot of the music that we are bringing in from the other side on this program. And if it wasn't enough to have Princess Diana and Dr. Martin Luther King all together on a show, we also bring in John Lennon and George Harrison, inspired music from them, from the other side. And John has been very patiently waiting for me to read this message that I've had from him for about, I don't know, weeks now, about his excitement in sharing his new tunes from the other side for Earth on our show. And they are debuting on our show. They are from Bob Murray. Bob is located at thestarsstillshine.com, and Bob has been channeling in inspired music from John and George and many others, Michael and the band and so on. Bob is a great channel. We encourage our audience to check his website out. It is very, very cool. And I would like to share with you now a wonderful message from John Lennon, and this is called John Lennon Speaks on His Music on the Forum for World Peace Show, channeled by Marcia, December 17th, 05. Hi, John. I'm hearing you, and I want to say a big thank you for sending on more of your great tunes like Outstretched Arms and George's Songs for our program. John, yeah, we're going to rock and roll the Beatles once more, dear, on your show. Pardon me saying so, but it's going to be the very best show on the blogging site. Marcia, John, when I look and see your words from just a few weeks ago, how right on your words were with blogging service. You, John, correctly predicted that and also knew it would result in something big. And just like you said, boom, it's big. Well, we all know blogging service is big. John, yeah, we all knew you'd make it sometime soon, and your message from Diana is truly great, just as she was. We want you heard, you know. Marcia, we were in the midst of speaking on how to approach Yoko and ask her permission to do this project and to convince her of my genuine connection to you, something that will give her no doubt that this is really you. And then you gave me the mental picture of the Double Fantasy album, the one you and she did before you're leaving us all, in the terrible way that you did. John, as I was saying, I used to keep house and Yoko did a lot of the business. I used to tidy up the house and keep the kids. It was a crazy life because I spent a lot of my time doing family things and working up late at night like you're doing now. Marcia, well, I love the new music, John, and I can't tell you the honor is all mine to debut yours and George's great stuff. And by the way, tell George his new songs really rock and roll, and they're superb. Not that my compliment means anything to George, but hey, I do love it. John, you are humble, you know. We love you, and we'll be in the studio above watching from here and seeing you go on with the show. We send all our love to our listeners and ask them to open their hearts to Murray and to you and to know that without a doubt, oh-blah-dee, oh-blah-da, life goes on, rah, la-la-la-la, life goes on. Love ya, ciao, John. And, of course, we mentioned Bob Murray at www, The Stars Still Shine, and he has a lot more music from other people on the other side. Okay, so that is John's message, and I want to share with you that John had asked me to work with Login Service before I even got this radio show, and John knew ahead of time that this was somehow going to be an outlet for his music. He's been wanting to get his music out to the world for the main purpose, as he said, to turn the world on to world peace. This is the Forum for World Peace, if you're just tuning in. And so this is what we're here for. We're here to create world peace in any small way that we can, and to remind our listeners that it's not an impossible goal, because we are now in the age of ascension. There are many things happening that previously were unattainable, but a lot of the tyrannies that we have lived under in even in our lifetime will be loosening because of the freedoms of the internet and the freedoms of so many different things that are emerging in our world. And so with that, I'd like to also lead right into my next message, and that is the one from Princess Diana. And each night that I feature this show, I read a message of Diana's from the previous week. I do a weekly message, and I am her channel for her issue with world peace. Rose is her channel also, and it's really awesome because both Rose and I have heard from Diana sometimes on the same day with messages corroborating one another. So I can vouch for Rose. She's the real thing. I know I'm the real thing, and we couldn't both be making this up. Right, Rose?
That's correct.
Okay, so can you bear with me here and allow me to read the message?
By all means, go ahead.
Do you think we have time? Okay, because I don't want to cut too far into the program, considering we started 5 minutes late, too. Okay, so... Hello, Diana. I was delighted to speak with Rose Campbell and hear her thoughts about you today. Diana, darling, we are indeed grateful to hear your voice, as it were, through your thought. Did I mention that this process of channeling is done through thought, and those who are my confirmed channels do indeed hear me through my inner voice? I wanted to clarify that because not only are my words important to the world of form, but those who may harbor doubts and suspicion about your fine work will be curious to know how you speak with the world's most famous princes. Marcia, back to that again. It seems that you were right when you said that for the doubting public, the best thing to do is to be present with Rose Campbell, but to have two channels present would be a form of validation to the doubting Thomas out there. Diana, indeed, that is the truth. We are ever so pleased to finally see this interview take place for Rose, as she has been my channel from the very beginning of my spiritual endeavor, so to speak. I have asked her to do things for my name that I have not asked you, and also what I have asked you to do is to carry on my causes with regard to world peace. As well, I have given you the opportunity to bring all my voices together to form the tapestry. It will be a beautiful garment when woven together for all to see. The princess's gowns were lovely in life, and her tapestry of voices from the heavenly realms will make a fitting garment for the soul that I am now. I will be confirming many, many more of my channels on your fine radio program, Marcia, so just have faith that my cause is not in vain. Marcia, did you wish to speak on world affairs then today, Diana? Indeed I do, and I have much that needs our mutual attention. It is with great alarm that the world heard the news that the nuclear fusion and fission programs have been started or are about to start again in Iran, that her defiance on these arms is an alarm to the civilized world that there is a red flag here, since she does indeed already possess nuclear material. You see, this is how fear works. She witnessed the Iraq War and wants to defend herself, but her weapons intentions are much darker than self-defense. We in spirit see she has intentions, perhaps, for Israel. Israel is not well-liked in the Middle East, as you well know. We are all praying for a miracle as we hope the Security Council and Dr. Rice can observe a peaceful nuclear program as proposed in lieu of further nuclear buildup. Marcia, Diana, I wonder if the U.S. intelligence people know about this. Diana, it is indeed most likely they do. We were glad to see the meeting this week between your president and the new president of Germany. That is refreshing to see alliances once again for a mutual purpose of stopping the spread of these terrible devices. For that is what I was saying in my campaign against landmines, that all these horrible devices should never have been invented. The world, my darling, is at a crossroads whereby she may choose the 1,000 years of peace or nuclear annihilation. Could such a choice be hard to make? I speak rhetorically, but your world leaders must address Iran if there is to be any peace in the Middle East, as she is very much the next threat. As well, we see the intentions of your American president may be harboring interest to go in and strike there if she will not abide by United Nations sanctions. This will prove extremely dangerous if the president were to do such a thing, because it would invite the possibility of loss of life in the millions of people in the Middle East. Whilst we all pray he holds restraint in his heart, we see that his cabinet members are less inclined to restrain their warlike intention. We in this sense do not commend their intentions, for we see what a terrible mess Iraq has become. Americans, wake up. It is if you are asleep at the wheel with a drunk driver. I mean no harm to your president as I say this, for it is only an analogy. However, we ask you to hear my message that I have given faithfully for over 5 years now with my channel. This one message can save the future of the United States, and my channel sits waiting patiently for the bookstores and the books she has sold and created. She has not made a penny on this and does this in my name to save lives, and we wish more light workers would open their hearts and minds to her lovely work. As well, we commend the work of Channel Rose Campbell, and we pray both of you will continue to work with me for the sake of others who are hurting the world over. My love, in a troubled time, Diana, Princess of Peace for the Nation. So there it is. There's many concerns that Diana is sharing with us this evening. And, of course, many of you probably saw the news with the Iranian president and his speech that he gave yesterday, whereby quite a few of the world news agencies attended that press conference. And each and every question that he was asked about nuclear arms buildup and his nuclear program was very carefully sidestepped. And, of course, there was a lot of translation, so there must have been some things lost in translation. But there were people asking from his own country about certain things, and he sidestepped them, too. So he seems to be very clever and very wordy. But anyway, it's a very dire situation, and I had said on an earlier show that the likelihood of outright nuclear war in the Middle East is something that Diana has been warning about for years now, and she's been doing this work through me to prevent future terror and a future nuclear explosion in the Middle East, and she's very intent on asking people to check out my website and my book and to put it on their priority reading list only because of the fact that she has so much good intelligence and so much information diplomacy-wise to share with our world, and she really seems to know in advance the intentions of some of these world leaders. Being a world leader herself, she had a great deal of information like that in mind. So anyway, I want to encourage all of you light workers out there and others to tune in to Diana's Vibrations, to our great guest tonight, Rose Campbell. How are you, Rose?
I'm doing fine, Marcia.
Great. I'm sorry if I was a little bit long there with the messages, but they're so important.
Well, right. Diana's words about world peace are ultimate at this day and age.
Well, you know, our world is just teetering on possible collapse at any moment, and my feeling is that if we didn't have the angels and we didn't have the heavenly host and the higher beings in the other dimensions, we might not even have a world at this point the way things are going.
Well, that's what amazes me, that people can't fathom that those on the other side aren't wanting to work with us over here. You know, the Dianas, the Martin Luther Kings, the angels, the spirit guides, they're all interested in trying to help us sort this mess out.
I know. And, you know, I'm so thrilled and honored that not only are we going to be hearing from Princess Diana tonight through you, but we're going to also be featuring the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, who is another of my favorite people, and he is so important in the work that he started, and you know, it was pretty tough going there, I guess, for him from time to time.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, even if you just read, you know, the historical books written about him, the adversity that he faced, and even within his own self, the discouragement and the wondering if he was correct in his purpose.
Yeah, I can't wait to get into that, but I suppose we could stay on the theme of Diana and work with some questions there and then move into Dr. King, since we're only about 20 minutes or so into the program, and we should have enough time to cover both Diana and Dr. Martin Luther King. So when you first began channeling, and by the way, the name of Rose's ebook, and it's a great read, is The Princess and the Pan. And it's available on Rose's website at Connecting to Diana, and we gave the web address, and we'll give it again by the end of the evening. We also want to say that we're opening up our phone line, and if there's anybody out there that's listening that wants to ask myself, Marcia, a question, or Rose a question about our work with Diana, or you have other questions for me, that's fine. We'll open up the phone line. Rose, I'm curious, how did you first make your connection to Diana, and what was that experience like?
Well, it was the evening of her death.
Wow.
And I had no intention of actually speaking to Diana. When I had received the news via, you know, television and saw the car and finally heard that she had died, you know, my question was why? Because I understand that there's always a higher cosmic spiritual meaning behind most events.
Exactly.
And I couldn't really come up with anything out of my own mind that seemed fitting, so I did what is probably natural to most channels, is I decided to ask my spirit guides to get a higher perspective.
Okay, so you went and asked them, why was the beautiful princess taken?
Right, why now? Why did she leave? What is this all about, essentially? And so I opened the doorways to communication, and they came through, the guides did, with this lengthy and rapid-fire information. So I also knew that I wasn't going to be able to memorize all of this, so I went to my computer to jot it down as I received it. And it was during this time, as they explained a lot of things from their perspective, that they said that there was another who wanted to give me insight. And it was somewhere between 1:15 and 1:30 in the morning, and I was kind of really starting to wear down.
Okay, now they said that on the news that Diana died at 4. So, I mean, but this is U.S. time, so that
correct.
would be
yes, correct. I'm saying 1:15, 1:30 my time.
My God, that's astounding, because I didn't hear from Diana until 2001, you know. Although I think I heard from her shortly after she died, but that was before I didn't know that I was actually a channel, and I would have these fantasy conversations with people on the other side, and I thought it was just my imagination.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, when this information started coming through, you know, I myself had a hard time accepting who it was, because it was a blow away, a mental blow away.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading those sessions, those first early sessions in your book, and it was like you couldn't even use Diana's name when she was speaking.
Like, well, because I wasn't 100% sure yet. I mean, I knew what my heart was telling me, but my head was going, no. This can't be. And so,
amazing that you connected with a night before died. I mean, that tells me right away that Diana ascended, and I know this is a controversial subject about her ascension, because she's told me she ascended, but she's told others that she's not an angel. So in any event, though, it tells me that she did, because usually people can't immediately transcend the trauma of their death and then start communicating just like that, you know? I don't know if you ever thought
about that. Well, I think that's part of why I was astounded.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that does now.
Because I'm like, well, why? I mean, one of the biggest questions is, why is she talking to me? You know, I relatively in the stream of life, I'm a nobody.
Well, that's and, the title, The Princess and the Peon, but you're no peon, Rose. According to Diana, you're going to be.
But of course, at that time when this information came through from her, that's exactly how I felt. You know, it was just, like I said, it was a mental blow away.
Well, it was to me, too. I have to totally say that
You can relate.
All the things that I've experienced in my life, I can totally relate to what you're saying, because, you know, I heard from her in 2001, and she asked me to be her ambassador for peace, and I was like, oh, is this really Diana? kind of thing, yeah.
And so, you know, Marcia, how can we blame others who somewhat quirk an eyebrow at us? When being involved in it ourselves, we initially went, is this the real thing?
Yeah, but, you know, in order to keep the conversation flowing with you and Diana, there had to be that underpinning of inner knowing, which I know all people who channel get that inner knowing of truth with that work that they're doing, and they don't leave it aside, especially when they're connected to someone like as important as Princess Diana.
Well, exactly. My emotional barometer said, this is truth.
Mm-hmm.
It was only my logical ego mind that said, okay, yeah, right. You know?
Yeah, and you know, it's really refreshing. I got to compliment you on your great book, because it's really refreshing to see the naivete and the innocence and the reluctance to actually believe that this is Diana. And to me, that gives all of the readers out there an understanding that you were doubting of this, and you're not out there bragging about it, like, yeah, I'm Diana's one and only channel kind of thing, you know. And so you're not so self-assured that, you know, you're not...
Oh, when I even told two of my closest friends, I swore them to secrecy.
Oh, I bet.
That they wouldn't tell anyone, because at that time I didn't know... You know, I was still in the realm of, is this an actual happening or am I a nutcase? You know?
Well, you're not a nutcase.
But I have since, right, you know, over the years and as these conversations continued, she started feeding me things that were, that weren't coming up on the news for 2 to 3 months after I was receiving them.
Yeah.
And these were the things that kind of said, you know, actually then made my logical mind go, okay, this has to be real.
Yeah.
This has to be truth. This has to be a real happening,
well,
because how,
like,
do I know these things?
There were, like, a lot of details that she gave you. You know, and you're free to speak on as much of this as you want to, but, like, leading up to the last hours of her life, etc., she gave you quite a few details on specific things, I guess. And I remember reading one of them somewhere on the internet that was in your book. And it may seem very trivial, and I'm going to mention it. It's really trivial, though. But it just gives validation that you are the genuine psychic that you claim to be. And it's what she ate for dinner with her and Dodie when they were having their last dinner. What a sad thought. But she ate flounder and eggs. And in your book, you said she ate chicken eggs. And you laughed at that. But, you know, I came across some weird article. I mean, I read a lot about her because I'm trying to get corroboration for my work, too. And I look for every detail about everything in her life, her death, her accident, you name it. And I came across an article. I don't know if I shared this with you. But it did confirm that was what she ate.
Yeah, see, I hadn't actually run across that myself.
I saw that printed twice in two different articles on the internet that were derivative of major papers, and I'm not remembering whether it was the New York Times or one of the London tabloids, but they had it. They had that much right, but they sure don't have the accident right. But that's another matter, and we're not really going to go into too much on that. But, you know, I'm just curious, like, as this process unfolded, what kinds of interesting details did she give you about her life and things that you wish to highlight?
Oh, she gave me quite a bit about her feelings about her life and their, you know, her feelings as a mother. There's some, within the book, there's some revelations of her feelings about the whole Charles Camilla thing. Although, after a certain point, she said, you know, that's it. I don't want to discuss it.
Yeah, I reread some of that tonight and found it to be entirely accurate as far as it corroborated what I had from her about them. But in my work, she very seldom mentions them because my work is world affairs. But it just seemed like from your work that... You know, Diana was psychic in life. It seems from reading your book that she actually knew the minute she was walking up the aisle that there was an affair going on. Is that true?
Well, yes, she does say that she kind of did know that from the very beginning, and she had always thought that, you know, time would correct the matter and she could win his love. And, there, you know, there, she does go into some of that. But the more important aspects of her work with me was, and I found it after, you know, as I was taking the sessions, dictation as I call them, I wasn't totally aware of the evolution of her perspective. It wasn't until I had put in all the transcripts together and was doing the book that I became aware of how you can see the progress of her being interested in almost relaying to me about her earthly life, and then how she begins to make this shift of getting out of that, and then talking about what can be done on a broader, grander perspective for the world at large.
Well, you know, for a lot of flight workers out there that are tuning in to our program, I want to remind everybody that Princess Diana, while she was among us, was a truly great flight worker, at least in my opinion. And if you look at what she did with her campaign with landmines, and if you look at Bosnia, she was getting right involved in world affairs, right involved in warfare, and trying to stand up for people wherever she could. So she was doing some pretty magnificent work. And it seems to me that that's the course that her life would have taken had
well,
she not
exactly.
been out.
And why if, I mean, it, you know, in hindsight, it seems so feasible that if she was that interested in the plight of the underdogs, you know, now that she's on the other side, she has not lost that. If anything, it's been amplified.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting. I think what you're getting at, one of the themes, is that when a soul is crossed over, newly crossed over, they kind of go through this life review process. And at that point, you know, even when you first made contact with her, she seemed to be more in that phase. But then as she grows as a soul on the other side, which everybody has the opportunity to continue their spiritual growth when they're in the heavenly realm, and it seems to me that she is maturing and gaining greater and greater perspective in your book. But we're talking about like almost 8 years ago now, aren't we?
Yes, this, well, the evening of her death, which was August 31st, 1997,
right.
And it, my sessions with her were probably 2 to 3 times a week, the bulk of it, for 6 months or so.
Oh, okay.
And then I would go back to her. And the whole thing, it basically spanned it almost 15 to 16 months. And in making the book, the part of it was trying to decipher out of this mass of transcripts what to put in the book. But I actually used most of everything that she had given me verbatim.
And, you know, when I read your book, I can definitely hear Princess Diana in the eloquence and also... She speaks with the Queen's English, and you can definitely hear her British accent coming through, and you can definitely hear the Queen's English. I'm calling it the Queen's English because that is a different English than what we speak in America, which is so slang-oriented and so different. But she's quite proper, and she always uses proper first names for people. Have you noticed that, too?
Oh, yes.
She always calls Andrew, you know, not Andy, Andrew. But, you know, she is, she says Welsh and a lot of other very, you know, very different dialects than what I would use or what you would use. So I recognize her energy in your work right away. I'm just, you know, I'm so impressed that you, like, connected with her the first night. I mean, it's just so amazing. I can certainly identify with your feelings of confusion about that. And I'm just, you know, wondering what else Diana is saying in the book that you wish to highlight. I think there's some really, really nice stuff.
Well, maybe something about one of the reasons that she made contact. Maybe I could highlight something
well,
of that.
Well, if you
what
have
she...
some passages from your book that you'd like to share with us, I'm sure our listening audience would like to hear it.
Okay, I've got a passage here from the book, and I am now speaking for Diana. I will now give you the reasons that I have come forward to those of you who can and do receive me. I wanted to make this another session where we delve into the reason why I feel the need to continue with the realm of physical existence. I've been made aware of many things that can and do work with the realm of spiritual thought, and I feel that if there is not a reformation in my country and the world at large, there will exist many more decades of moral torpitude and decay. There needs to be a focusing of the greater good rather than the prevailing attitude of seeking only what behooves the immediate needs of the family. I was one who gave up on getting anything out of the family that I was born or wed into, but began to research into the world as a whole, as a family that needed to become my home. I was not happy as a child, and I feel that if I had worked with the same principles of making my family feel what I have with the entire world, then there would have been a reformation within my own family unit. Let me read a little further. As I became the fairy tale princess, I took this lesson with me to the altar. I knew then that to have this opportunity was a lifetime of lessons for those who have no hope. I was never able to explain this to anyone else, but I felt the need to share what I thought of as my great fortune and blessing to become the princess of the greatest kingdom to ever exist. I realized that if a fairy tale princess could be made out of a lonely, shy, gawkish young girl, then the world could be transformed into the beautiful place that had been intended by the creator of all men. A sampling.
All I can say is, wow, that is so eloquent. I mean, her use of language.
That was the thing that also convinced me. This had to be her because as it came through, sometimes her words would just humble me. And I knew it was way beyond anything that I could have even begun to have made up.
And, you know, I want to say, too, that as Princess Diana grew into her world-renowned role, she was taking lessons in public speaking early on because she knew she was going to have to present herself a lot to the public. And she being a shy person at first, it was very difficult for her. But then it seemed like at some point later in her career, she became possessed of mind and spirit where she could just take on the world, as it were, confidently. And her speaking skills were phenomenal, too. I mean, every time I remember listening to her on TV, she was always very well spoken. But the eloquence I'm hearing from you, Rose, I mean, you know, she's just phenomenally eloquent.
Well, somewhere in the book, and I don't remember exactly where it is right off the top of my head, but she had said something, and I even jokingly kind of came back with her and said, you know, wow, I'd like to take the speech classes you're taking over there. Because whatever it was she said, just it was so succinct and so powerful that I literally made a comment to her about it.
Oh, me too. You know, a lot of the ending of my messages, she has about 15 titles for herself, you know. And she also has these very eloquent sayings in my book, like one day mankind will learn the folly of weapons of mass destruction and not, and you know, it just goes on and on. It's just so perfectly worded, and the English needs absolutely no editing whatsoever except my misspelled words and my awkwardness. But, you know, if I could just get her words the way they're spoken to me, she's so eloquent. And, you know, what she says about war and weapons of mass destruction is that they're just totally a plague to the planet and that these horrible devices should never have been invented. And she says one day mankind will abandon such things and enter a new age of light. So the way she speaks is just, it gives you goosebumps. It's just so eloquent. You know, and especially when she sees into the future of the world, because she can either be profoundly doomsday in her predictions with me, or she can be profoundly, you know, light, love, new age, wholeness, you know? And she makes it clear that we as a race must ourselves make that choice for the world. And so I think, you know, she began to get a sense of her own personal power toward the end of her life. You know, unfortunately, it was toward the end of her life. It shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't have been like that. But I think that when people attain mastery the way they do, very often after they have achieved that mastery, very often then their life suddenly disappears. Have you noticed that also? I mean, we're going to be working into Dr. Martin Luther King's work, and I assume that he's also another ascended master.
Well, and, you know, speaking of him, he delivered the night before he was shot the speech that said, I might not make it to the promised land with you, but I'm okay with that.
And I'll tell you how I'm tuning into what you're saying about him is because I don't know if you noticed it, but, you know, I pay attention to the world affairs and the news and everything every week, and that's my job as I do my work with Diana because she has comments. But Time Magazine this week did a special article on Dr. Martin Luther King and his own personal agonies. And I read through that, and that's exactly what he said, and that's where I picked it up. I don't know where you picked that up, but was that something he said to you in Chicago?
Well, it's not something he said to me directly, but again, I was approached, and again, I did not ask to speak to Martin Luther King. This came about during part of the Diana segment.
Okay, so she probably knows him and has met him. I would have.
I assume that was not specifically said to me.
Yeah.
But I had made a connection with my guides about some issues, and kind of in a way talking to them about what to do with this Diana material. And they went on for 4 or 5 pages of typed transcript. And then once again, they said, there's another who wishes to approach you. May we have permission for that connection? And the next thing I know, I'm once again going, okay, yeah, right. You know, I'm finding that I'm supposedly talking to Martin Luther King. Now, what became evident to me once I finished that channeling was how little I knew about Martin Luther King, myself personally. And, you know, part of that was I was 12 when he was assassinated. And by the time I made high school, he hadn't hit the history books yet. So I was never actually taught about Martin Luther King. Having grown up in the cornfields of Indiana, and that there was a great amount of time that we didn't even have a television set. So I almost all but missed all of that 1960s radical freedom movement thing.
See, I was part of all of that. I wasn't a raving radical, but I was a child growing up in the 60s. And, you know, later, I did a, you know, in my in the course of my spiritual development, I offered courses at various churches on Dr. King's work. And I featured it in Sunday school one time.
Oh, that's interesting.
And this was an all-white, upper-crust type Protestant church, you know. And they all embraced it. Everybody loved it. And the kids drew pictures of the bus and how they weren't allowed to ride on the bus and then, you know, Rosa Parks and all that. So the kids had a great time with it, too. But go ahead, because I would like you to share some of Dr. King's words, if you could, with us. I'd be really honored to hear him again.
Well, let's start kind of at the beginning in a way. One of the reasons that he gave to me that the reason that he approached me, he had made the comment that he knew that I had heard the voice.
Okay.
And I have to say I was a little kind of thrown off by that because even though I heard voices, I wasn't exactly sure what he meant.
I think
well, after this initial contact with him, you know, I think it was the next day or so, I ran to the library and checked out about every book they had on him.
Mm-hmm.
One, trying to find validation and verification, and two, because I did realize, you know, I know nothing about this man, so I can't even judge if I have anything valid here. And it was halfway through this book that I know was at least 4 to 6 inches thick. And I'm slugging my way through all these dates, and, you know, it was a historically written book. And suddenly I come upon this passage, and it talks about how he had all but decided to quit being the front man for the Montgomery bus boycott because of the adversity and all of that, and how he faced what a lot of people would call the dark night of the soul in his kitchen in the middle of the night. And in there, it describes him hearing the voice.
Okay.
Well, in that moment,
validation from another.
Right. In that moment, yeah. I thought, oh my gosh, I have spoken to this man.
Well, can you do that? Because we are kind of, we're almost at the end already. I hate to tell you this.
Okay, well, I will read that, and then
I appreciate you going into all this, and I know, well, we only have 10 minutes left, and I know that you said that you were going to bring this out, and I apologize if I'm, you know, cutting short anything that you wanted to add to this to validate it, but, you know, I'm trusting that this is valid information. I know you to be an honest person.
Well, what I'll read is the little passage about the voice, but I also actually, knowing that we were doing a radio show today, I approached Martin Luther King yesterday, and I have a statement by him.
Wow.
That I would like to read.
Phenomenal. And it's his birthday. Oh, wow. Praise God Almighty. Didn't he say something like that in the Freedom Speech?
Yes.
You know, one day we will all... Okay, go ahead. You go ahead with his words, please.
Okay, this is the segment about the voice. It came to me with the same clarity that you have learned to use, although at the time I had only the belief that it had to be God speaking to me. I had no other reference to use, so I felt as if God spoke directly to me for the purpose of my continuing the work that was given to me. Had I known that I could work with the entire world of spirit, perhaps that would have given me even more strength. I have no way of truthfully knowing, but my point is that if you can access me in my thoughts, then you have mastered that which I was only a novice in. I was afraid many nights, and there always came to me a voice to reassure me that what I was doing was for the best. It gave me hope and courage, a renewed sense that if I should fail, that I would be living up to less than my Heavenly Father had planned for me to do. I was able to dispel the thoughts of fear and anger with the coming of the voice, and I know now that if I had used this in any other manner, that I too would have recognized that I could have been given wisdoms far beyond my own. And that's just a little segment.
That's beautiful. That's really, really good. And, you know, I think this is good if there are fundamentalist Christians tuning into our program tonight, to give them a little validation that because Martin Luther King was a fairly fundamentalist Christian minister, and he's channeling. So, you know, the people out there trying to say this is work of the devil have got a lot to learn, baby.
Well, and considering that a lot of the Bible is channeled material.
That's right. The Bible
in the strictest
channeled.
Sense of the word.
Daniel was a channel. Most of the prophets were channels.
Exactly.
And Jesus had many incarnations, as we know, too, and channeled most of the Old Testament and was the scribe for the most of the Old Testament. I found that out through Joshua Stone. Now, if you would, do you have that message that you connected
yes,
with?
Yes, I do.
Great. I'm dying to hear it.
Okay. I had just said to him that I was doing a radio show, and did he wish to give me a statement to read to the audience? And his response was this. There are no freedoms which have been won or currently exist that have not come at a great price for humanity in some form or another. I devoted, and yes, even gave my life for the working of some freedoms that had to be birthed into the world at that time. I was not a man who led the cause by myself. There were many who gathered around me for support and who led the way with ideas and visions. Today, there exists more racial equalities for the Negro, but the vision that I held for all of humanity still has a far road to travel. As I have shared with you in the past, my fight was not solely for the Negro, but for all who found repression from prejudice due to their skin, their sex, their economic status. My work began with the plight of the Negro in the Deep South, but it was aimed at as merely a stepping stone for works that would stem from this. Had I lived for longer days upon that earth, there would have been a shifting of focus from just the segregation issues as involved the Negro to the segregation issues as involves any of God's children. I was a man called by God to lead a flock, and that work became known as the Freedom Movement. However, how could a man of God ignore all of God's children, whether they be black, white, male, female, poor, or uneducated? My friends in the movement and the great work that we dedicated our lives to were divided upon the issues of how far to take the cause. But for me, there were never any stopping points in the war against prejudice. Just as I felt the sting of prejudice, I knew others, not of my race, felt them also, for they had the wrong address, the wrong gender, or the wrong degrees. I would not have stopped merely at winning freedoms for the black man and woman, as disappointing as that might have been for those of my associates. But the work that we did in those hours, those days of racial injustice, were but lighting one lamp for mankind to see by, as held in my mind. The work was laborious, discouraging, and often fraught with danger. However, a man is not a man unless he can stand with his head held high and his arms wide for all those who are created in God's image. I fought then as a black man and a leader of the spiritual welfare of the flock I was given charge of. I fight even now as a soul with no racial identity or economic status in the world, for I once shared with you for all who are truly God's sons and daughters. There can be no divisions, no segregations between any of God's children if there is to be a true honoring and a true form of worship for He who is our Father. Let not the world remember me solely as the champion of the black cause, but let them remember me as a freedom fighter for all inequalities, as that would have been my full life's written history if I had lived long enough in that world. I died as a young man. It served a purpose for many reasons, but let no man think my work ceased at my death. Where there is injustice and a holding down of any of God's children due to prejudice, there you will find me, the essence known as Martin Luther King Jr., fighting ever diligently. I am not at rest in the graces of our Lord if there is anything but peace between my brethren in the Lord. The work goes on, and I'm ever available for the quest for freedom. Remember me this day and every day as the man who led not only the black man down the road toward equality, but as one who would dance with rapture with all people freed from oppression. Thank you for my time with these words. Let no freedom ring for one that does not create freedom for all. M.L. King.
Let's
then I said, well, thank you, Martin. And then he came back with this blast of there are no words that can convey my joy at being heard again upon those issues of freedom. If one gives your life for something that of that great a cause, then it is not erased from your memory, even in the passing through the gates of death. There is no death exists between who I was and who I am still, though I am greater in depth than ever I knew in that lifetime. We all are, children, and leave that world knowing, as I did, that you fought a courageous battle for the upliftment for those trod upon.
Wow. That is just absolutely honorable. I wonder, Rose, if you could write that out and send that on to Coretta Scott King.
Yeah, well, the problem is getting a hold of these people.
Yeah, I know, because I've tried to, you know, reach various, well, you know, I did send letters on to William and Harry, and who knows if they ever got there, you know. You also said that, and that was phenomenal, by the way. I think you should compile that one and the other one and maybe post it on your website. It's truly great, and I think you'd like to.
Well, I believe that I am going to post, either make a different website for Martin Luther King or do a link from the Diana site to Martin Luther King section.
I wanted to ask you, did you say that you also had a special message from Diana for our show this evening?
Yes, and it's not quite as long, so
all
maybe
right,
we
well,
can wrap up with that.
We're going to wrap up with that then, and then if there's time, we'll play John Lennon's tune from Bob Murray, if there's time. But I think we have less than 5 minutes, so let's go.
Okay. Well, again, my website is www.angelfire.com/mb2/connecting_2_Diana. And I will be posting what I'm about to read there on that site also.
Wonderful.
This is Diana speaking. I am greatly honored that you have stepped forward now to work with what I gave to you this many years ago. I still stand by most of what I gave to you then, for it was how I saw the world at that time. Suffice it to say that my understanding has grown since those early days here in this wonderful realm, and I work with others for a more elucidated version of the truths as I have come to know them. However, those things of which you and I spoke when I was recently deceased from that world are still valid. I am still ever pressing forward with what can be done with those who hear my voice and for those who need a voice to highlight their plights. I still know that I feel I was taken from that world for a specific purpose to fulfill my destiny, and that as such there were forces brought to bear upon that leaving that shall be revealed in all too short a time. I will not reveal more now, however, for the time is not yet fully ripe. But soon the world will know that I have spoken from beyond my headstone, as it were. Those of you who have been my faithful mouthpieces will find vindication and a revelation even to yourselves to the scope of my plottings and plannings that wove together the tapestry that you and I had spoken of. Be prepared to laugh with all delight when certain things are revealed. I am ever one who loves the ironic twist, and thus I have great glee with that part of my plans. Consider these things, for they have been revealed already and will not tip the hand of other things I still hold as delightful surprises for my family of voices. The one who teaches art now leads the way with history. The one who speaks my words has the vocal cords of a male. The one who considers herself not worthy of my company has now been placed in charge of being my delegate to unite my family of voices, for she has held my respect as one worthy of that role. The one who finds herself frightened of others is now fighting her urges to join others in my work. It is a delightful set of ironies, don't you agree, Rose? Yes, those are indeed twisted, and I was laughing at that point. However, do you have a message at large for the radio audience? Diana, yes, indeed. Those of you who doubt, who linger with the old ways of thinking that life deceased when you die, let my words through my voices debunk those old myths. For those who think I came to be a saint, let me say that I met a saint in New York, and I was not of her status. I came only to be a voice for those who had none at a time when the regal realms of royalty had no ear for such ones. I came only to be Diana, a girl who cared about a great many things, and through my marriage to those robes of royalty was able to use some of my pitfalls to great advantage. I am still not a saint, as the churches would have that term defined. I am ever still Diana, a soul now who seeks only to highlight the worst of the adversities given to folks who cannot find a voice with full volume to decry their plights. In the absence of my physical vocal cords, I have chosen from amongst your ranks the voices of those who are tuned to my eternal voice from spirit. They will take much derision for this role, and I ask that you search their words from me for the truth as it shall be found in your hearts. I was not a saint, nor was I a sinner of greatest degree as others might wish to cry out about me. I was, and still am, simply Diana, a person who could not abide the hurtful, the unjust, and the ill treatment of any living soul. There are greater things to be had for that world, as I have shared with my voices, and I beg that each of you help to hold my vision as given through these, my chosen voices. In times of greatest need, I am ever Diana, the girl who cared.
Wow, that is amazing. And I think she is referring to you and I in that message, isn't she?
Yeah, I took it that you were the one who teaches art and is now leading with history, which is very accurate description.
Well,
Andrew Russell Davies.
Leading with history, the art part, yes, I get that, but leading with history, I suppose she's speaking of the history.
Oh, the whole Middle East thing.
That's
historical.
Thing. Well, it is historical, and it has influenced, her work has influenced the Middle East in a very profound way that very few people know that. And I don't know if they ever will. Maybe she's saying they will. But in any event, no, she's describing you and your work. And the book, again, for anyone who's still tuning in to our show here, this is Rose Campbell. Her book is The Princess and the Peon, An Uncommon Conversation with the Late Princess Diana. You can pick it up on her website. Rose, would you give us the website again?
www.angelfire.com/mb2/connecting_2to_Diana.
Wow. That is great. It's a beautiful website. And Rose, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a true pleasure to speak with you. I'm wondering if we're going to have time for the music. It looks like we might be a little bit...
we'll play the music.
Oh, wonderful. Sure. Bless you, Don. Thank you.
And, well, thank you, Marcia.
Rose, it was a pleasure. We got to have you back another time. We just didn't have enough time for it all. God bless to everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Forum for World Peace. And remember to keep peace in your hearts and minds. Good night for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.